You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Monday night from the South Point VSiN's Primetime Action. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin off the greatest weekend in the history of mankind. Oh, my God. Greatest weekend, greatest day. We'll talk about everything that happened. Division round week in the National Football League. Andy McNeil will join us to talk some hockey. Tank Williams to review the weekend that was and the weekend ahead. But first, Matt, a whole bunch of puck drops today.
We do. We have one NBA, if you want to get in on that one right now. The Knicks and the Cavs are at 7-4 Pacific. That's Cavs. 4.5, 5-point favorites at home over the Knicks. 201.5, 202. There. We'll get back to the rest of those, but we do have four puck drops happening right this second if you want to get involved. Stars and the Flyers. The Stars are -165 road favorites over the Flyers, +145 on the home team. The Kings and the Rangers. We have the Rangers as -155 home favorites there, +135 on the road Kings. We have the Vegas Golden Knights and the Washington Capitals. The Capitals are -150-ish. You can find somewhere at varying numbers in between there, but about 145, 150. Home favorites over the Knights. You can get +125 on the Knights as visitors there. 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Last puck drop happening right now, the Ducks and the Bruins. The Bruins are -250 home favorites over the Ducks, +210 on Anaheim as road underdogs. Three more puck drops tonight. Canadiens and the Wild at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Wild, -380 home favorites over the Canadiens, +310 on the underdogs there. Blackhawks and Avalanche. Avalanche are -320 home favorites over the Blackhawks, +265 on the visitors. And then at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, the Blues and the Flames. The Flames are -160 home favorites over the Blues. Back over to the NBA. Again, just four games tonight. We got that Knicks-Cavs game, as we mentioned, that's tipping off right this second. The Pacers and the Pelicans are at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Pelicans are 3.5 to 4-point home favorites over the Pacers, 217 all the way to 218. The total, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, the Bulls and the Thunder. This is a pick 'em at one shop. It is each team favored by one at varying shops. So however you want to go about this, probably just bet the money line. How about that?
Yeah, that number has been on the move because DeMar DeRozan just got it was announced he just will be missing the game tonight. However, they will be getting Zach LaVine back in the lineup tonight. So a little bit that was a little unexpected. LaVine was going to be back already tonight, but he is. But no DeRozan, so that number's on the move.
216, 216.5. The total, and then 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. We got the Jazz and the Suns. The Suns are 11.5-point home favorites at home, home favorites over the Jazz. We got a 221 to 221.5 total there. Just four games in the association.
All right, little knickknacks in the National Football League today after a spectacular weekend. The future for New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton. Unclear at this time. Team owner Gail Benson said today that at an unrelated news conference that she too is uncertain to what lies ahead for Sean Payton. Miami, perhaps. That's me talking. I don't know. Broncos down to three candidates for head coach, according to reports. Packers OC Nathaniel Hackett, Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, and the Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell. The Panthers, they've officially hired Ben McAdoo as their offensive coordinator. You have that one?
No, but I mean, you know, they were actually fairly – his last stint as offensive coordinator was actually a fairly successful full offense. I mean, like, you know, look, our last memory of McAdoo wasn't all that great. But, no. I mean, as an offensive coordinator, you know, he got the job done. So we'll see. I mean, it's been a hot minute.
It's like a Vic Fangio thing. Outstanding elite defensive coordinator. Our last memory of him as head coach. Not so fun. Chiefs, they're waving Josh Gordon, who has been inactive, in case you were wondering, but plan to re-sign him to the practice squad if he clears that per a source. And because Gordon was on the 53-man roster for 8 games this season, he'll get the same playoff check plus a practice squad check for the rest of the playoffs, in case you were wondering where Josh Gordon was these days. And then former Bucks running back Le'Veon Bell, it's funny to call him a former Bucks running back. What's your favorite moment of the Bucks era of Le'Veon Bell?
Oh, man. That week 3 game when he sat on the bench.
Who could forget it? No. He cleared waivers. He's now a free agent per the wire. Where do we begin, gentlemen? The greatest day yesterday of football, the greatest weekend. Let's start with the nuttiest. Last night, the Bills and the Chiefs. And the Chiefs and the Bills score 31 combined points after the two-minute warning. 26-21, Chiefs. The two-minute warning, it finishes Chiefs 42-36 in overtime. I went through it blow by blow in a numbers game this morning. It's just impossible when you read it back, let alone having watched it yesterday. And the Chiefs now face the prospect of one of the strangest things ever, which is no team had ever played a Super Bowl at home. Last year, the Buccaneers did it. This year, the Rams could do it. The Chiefs could very strangely become the first team to have to play two legitimate road games in a Super Bowl, which is the other way of sort of looking at that. If they could beat the Bengals, against whom they are 7-point favorites in the AFC Championship. And Matt, I just throw it to you and say, was this just the greatest thing you'd ever seen in your life? Or do you look at it and say, how could the defenses possibly have allowed this to happen?
No, this game, and I said this again this morning, not only to my group of friends who all were going crazy during the course of the game as well, but I don't think it's outlandish for me to say that this is probably one of the five best games I've ever watched. I mean, from an entertainment value, like sitting there and just getting what we got, like, you know, yeah, there's going to be people who love the run game who say, this game was garbage. And there's people who love, you know, defensive side are going to say, this game was garbage. And okay, fine. That's your opinion. That's how you like your football. I mean, as far as entertainment value, as far as keeping you on the edge of your seat, as far as jaw-dropping moments, things that you were not expecting to happen, all of that. I mean, it had every single bit of it. Even from a betting perspective, I mean, Kelly, you're sitting there with the over ticket. It's just kind of right on pace at halftime. You're kind of is it going to get there?
Is it not going to get there?
Like, whatever. Yeah. Then obviously, whether you had either side, everything was in the balance all game long as it got towards the end and all that. So, I mean, even from a betting perspective, it was fantastic because there were, the over soon enough, the over became a foregone conclusion. But I mean, even at halftime, you're still sitting there going like, is it going to get there? Is it not going to get there? I mean, there was just everything about this game top to bottom that was fantastic for me. Seriously, I think it was one of the five best games that I've ever watched from an entertainment.
I'll go one step further. I think with the possible exception of maybe the Russell Wilson interception against Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, the Seahawks and the Patriots, and maybe the Patriots come back against the Falcons, I think for the Bills, I think that is one of easily the most gut-wrenching, most hurtful losses in the history of the National Football League. I am sick for the Bills fans. I'm sick for Josh Allen. I don't know how you, and here's the thing about this. You just assume in moments like this, the Bills with this window of Josh Allen, they'll be back. You never know. You never know.
Injuries and what, yeah.
The NFL is littered with great teams that never came back. You don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, they found out they had the greatest receiver in the history of football. Yeah. So they are going to be back for sure. I mean, like, who knew? Gabriel Davis, the greatest receiver in the history of the NFL.
I think it's funny just the different ways we kind of view the game. And like, Matt, for me, it's for sure a top five game of all time. I think that's without question. The question for me is it the greatest game of all time that I've ever seen? I don't know. That's a question. The one thing I know for sure, I've never seen two quarterbacks play and battle at that high a level where it felt like it felt like, you know, back in the heyday boxing of just haymaker after haymaker. And think about what percentage of the offense these guys combined for both running the ball and passing the ball. It was incredible. And Josh Allen, I mean, with the Chiefs winning the game, I think this will get lost a bit. Josh Allen in that game and all season has continued to step up his level of play where he is making throws that nobody else on the planet can make right now, not even Patrick Mahomes. The velocity he puts on some of those things is incredible. I feel horrible for that guy that he lost that game, Gil. You're right, because his defense gave it up a couple times. Sorry, but it happened.
I mean, real quick at the end, 4th and 4 at the Kansas City 30 with 2:48 left. He scrambles and converts it. And then at the 2-minute warning where it starts, 4th and 13 at the KC 27, Fourth and 13, Allen to Davis, touchdown, the corner falls. Then the amazing two-point conversion to Stephon Diggs to make it 29-26. 1:54 left, way too much time, right? Five plays, Mahomes to Tyreek for 64 yards. 1:02 left, Chiefs up 33-29. Six plays for Buffalo, Allen to Davis for 19, touchdown. How is he behind the defense again? Davis, the first ever receiver to have four touchdowns in a postseason game. Two in the final 2 minutes, 36-33. The Bills then do not mortar kick. They do not grab receivers, and so they leave the door open. Two plays, 10 seconds. It goes from 13 seconds left to 3:44 yards later. Butker from 49, it's tied, and then overtime. How do you feel about overtime now?
Well, I mean, I've always I've held this position for years and years and years and years and years. I cannot stand that you can lose a coin flip and not touch the ball. Like I hate that. I understand that, your defense is supposed to stop them. Well, I mean, in a game like this where neither defense was stopping either team, it really was whoever won the coin flip. And everybody in the whole world knew. I tweeted out. I said, this is the most important guessing of a coin flip that you're ever going to see.
Because you knew it was over.
Yes, it was game over. I was like, this is the most consequential game calling guessing of a coin that we're ever going to have in the NFL, because that was just game over.
Here it is, 163 regular season overtime games since 2012. The team that won the coin toss, 86, 67, and 10. 11 playoff overtime games since 2010. Teams that won the coin toss, 10-1. Seven of those 10 scored the sudden death touchdown of the opening drive. The only team to lose, the Saints, 2018, in that game versus the Rams, marred by that flag, of course. I will tell you this, Matt, quite honestly, I never disliked the overtime rule as much as others did. Yesterday, I disliked it for the first time.
Yep.
I was like... This is awful.
I just felt like we were cheated.
Anyone that has watched enough football knew, like, we're like, yep. You knew whoever, however that coin fell, that was how that game was.
Yeah. And that's just that game. So much more to get to. We'll look at the current Super Bowl odds as well. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prior to making your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
This new feature gives you insights of where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over, under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Gil, Matt, and Kelly. Kelly has a basketball bet explanation he'd like to get to.
Yeah, I am on the Cavs in that game tonight. I just wanted to be completely transparent. I am on the Cavs -5. Didn't bring it up, though, in the first segment because Jared Allen was a late scratch for the Cavs tonight, and most of my handicap was that Mitchell Robinson was going to be out for the Knicks, and off of they're on a back-to-back situation, having played yesterday, thought they were going to get killed on the glass tonight. That was most of the handicap for this game. So I would not, obviously, game started, I would not play it if I had the chance now, but I will be, you might see me rooting for this tonight, but no, I would not. If you're out there, I would not make this bet anymore.
All right. I have a tennis play later, by the way. I'm on Gael Monfils.
Yeah, you are.
+140 versus Matteo Berrettini. And by the way, this might have gone against me by about 5-10 cents, which might be awesome because all the ones we're ahead of don't seem to win. So Gael Monfils against Matteo Berrettini late night tonight, Australian Open +140.
Let's see here. We're over at the DraftKings. Monfils +155.
Ho! 15 cents worse. Bet it at your own peril. No, +155 is a spectacular price. Monfils' hardcore data is actually superior to that of Matteo Berrettini over any real stretch that you want to sort of analyze. And so that's very curious to me that it went the other way. Dan Weston likes Gael Monfils. Drew Dinsick likes Gael Monfils. I like Gael Monfils.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? So a few other notes about that game yesterday, because there's so many things, and you literally could do a six-hour show on these four games, and it wouldn't be enough time. Just a few random thoughts. One, first of all, for the whole weekend, the greatest weekend of football ever, the lack of flags really was spectacular, especially relative to the previous round, where, remember, the wild card weekend was just horrible to begin with four games that were over by halftime, one of which was marred by officials. Just so few flags all weekend. That was great. I also thought to myself, a game like that last night proves that those of us who root for more mediocre football teams, Washington, Denver, you know, Carolina, Atlanta, pick your team. You know what I'm talking about. Just it proves the gap between the teams we root for and those two teams last night is just so obvious. And the other thing is, we've touched on this in different ways throughout the season. Adding the 17th game, I don't know if we can quantify it yet, but something about adding that 1 week has now caused this thing for the NFL season. We saw it this year starkly, where teams like Buffalo, let's face it, they took a couple games off in the middle of the season. The Jacksonville game where they lost 9-6, that first game against New England, which we sat here and watched in the swirling winds, where Josh Allen did not run the football at all. And then the Chiefs took about a third of the season to get this going too. I just think there's a different dynamic to the whole season and makes our job that much more difficult as handicappers, I believe.
Anyway, yeah, it's pretty
random thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be certainly interesting to see how all this progresses moving forward. But I mean, I think the only problem is the only one bye. I mean, of course, that didn't matter this year, but you know, having the one bye is, you know, you do have to play for that one seed. Like, you do have to still go after it. And I don't know if, I don't know how these teams are going to value that moving forward. I mean, again, we diminishing home field advantage, you know, obviously you want to sleep in your own bed, but is it worth what's it worth? You know, I mean, is it, you want to sleep in your own bed, but at the same time, you need your guys to be healthy. If your guys aren't healthy, then you have no shot anyway. So it's kind of, there'll be some trade-off, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that there's not enough data for us to know for sure yet, but it sure feels like that with a couple of those teams this year, right? And I do think, though, this will be, fortunately or unfortunately, no matter, depending on how you view this, I think this will be all solved when they go to the 18-game schedule and then you add a second bye week, because you're going to have to.
I would be all for.
They should.
Like a second bye week would be spectacular.
Yeah.
I always want to see the best version of all these teams. We'll talk about, you know, the other Saturday game, you know, the second Saturday game later. But, I mean, I want to see the best version of all these teams.
And so, between injuries, and if there's even, you know, like, yeah, I think what me and you were getting at, it's like, are they really strategically kind of pulling punches, right, on some of these games? And that's,
you can't
I
tell
don't
me.
Want that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You can't tell me, now seeing this Buffalo Bills team as currently constituted, you don't just evolve from that to this. Like, there's a couple games that are very strange there. And Las Vegas, Chris was on the Megapod last week. He even thinks that the schedule's getting so long now, you're going to see teams go to a backup quarterback like three times a year. Who knows? I don't know. It's an interesting thought. Let's take a look at the Super Bowl odds as they currently stand now with four teams left. No surprise that the Chiefs would be plus 120. No surprise the Rams will be 2-1. The Chiefs are 7-point favorites against the Bengals. The Rams, 3.5-point favorites against the 49ers. We'll get to all these other games in a moment. 49ers plus 450. Bengals, 8-1. How about the Rams and the Bucs yesterday? The game before the game, as it turned out, in the greatest day of football. The Rams go up to a 27-3 lead. Just everything that could go wrong for the Buccaneers did go wrong in most of this game. To that 27-3 lead, compounding their own deficit with unsportsmanlike conduct penalties that would either set them further back field position wise, in both on offense and on defense. And then there was a couple instances at the end of the first half. One, the Rams got the ball near midfield, couldn't do anything with it. Then late in the first half, a sequence where Bruce Arians strangely didn't call a timeout to preserve a possession. He gets bailed out by a Rams fumble at the one. So 27-3 could have been worse than 27-3, and it wasn't. And then, Matt, one of the great comebacks you'll ever see.
Yeah, I mean, this was more of an indictment on Sean McVay than it really is anything else, because they got uber, uber conservative in the second half. He turtled up, and you would think that these teams, it's like there's only 20 years of footage on this quarterback that's on the other side of the field. Like, no way that this snuck up on you, or that this is like anything that you couldn't imagine happening, right? I mean, it's so crazy.
The whole world was only talking about the exact situation at halftime and what he had seen before. Yeah. Like, we have seen this from Brady.
And passing was way too easy in the first half, so what do you do in the second half? Run on first down every single time, which is exactly what Sean McVay was doing despite the fact that Cam Akers had 24 carries for 48 yards. I don't know if you guys know, that's not a very good average.
Yeah.
And yet he wanted to run on first down every single time in the second half, and he just allowed. He put him behind the A ball, and he allowed Brady and the Bucks to come back and you know, get in a situation to win this game. I was sitting there just going, is he really going to run on first? He is going to run on first. Is he going to? He's going to do it. Oh my God, he's really doing this. And it's like he's in his 30s, but he's got like this 60-year-old coach mentality. You know, it's
he's been around.
Yeah, he's the young old man. Like he's been around the game since he was, you know, 3 years old and stuff. And so he's just got that ingrained inside of him, man. Like we're up big. We got to salt the clock. Like, we got to run the ball and salt the clock and do all this.
What's amazing to me is I had never, ever experienced a game that had a 2-touchdown margin with 6-plus minutes left where you thought it was so close. Like, I was like, oh, my God, this 2-touchdown lead. First of all, Matt Gay could have put it away, could have made it a 3-score game, and he fell 3 yards short on a 47-yard field goal.
First,
perfect weather.
First time I've ever... when considering kickers these days, like they make 55 yarders and it hits like 9 yards up on the net behind or whatever. I have not seen a guy short on a 47 yarder in recent. I can't even think of the last
time. Matt's going to make that in a park.
Of course he is.
Come on, but think about it.
27-3 in the last few minutes of the third quarter. Then the Kupp fumble, which led to a fourth down conversion and the Fournette touchdown, 27-13. Then the Von Miller strip sack, followed by the snap over Stafford's head. Your head is spinning. Your head is spinning. There's so many fourth downs that the Rams actually end up stopping, even after the Matt Gay missed field goal, one of which was the Eric Weddle ridiculous unsportsmanlike. Have you ever seen it called that way before?
I had to go look it up to see that is the rule. Like never to the letter of the law, I guess.
And we were on the Rams, and we have Rams futures, and I was like, we get the ball?
Yeah, that was incredibly interesting. But I mean, yeah, it is the rule, which is just.
But then, Brady to Evans deep. How do you let their number one receiver behind you? Then the fumble by Akers. Then they tie it up on the 4th-and-1 when Reeder can't make the tackle. And then they let Cooper first the 20-yarder, and then they let Cooper Kupp behind him. It's like the two number one wideouts get behind your defenses. They run up. They frantically spike it, and then Gay kicks the winner. Katie bar the door. I've never seen that game wasn't real.
So that stuff right there, Gil, was like one of my bigger points from like the whole weekend was like, we saw some incredible football. We saw some terrible football too, right? Like,
yes.
And I'm talking like some of the coaching stuff that Matt called out. I have never seen, and I'll bring this even back to last week with like the most obvious fake punt situation in the history of football with the Dallas Cowboys, right? And one defender screws it up and allows it to go. I feel like I saw that stuff all weekend between cornerbacks falling down or guys, you know, reading wrong stuff. It was amazing. All the fumbles in that game we were just talking about. Yeah. There were some really bad individual plays this weekend too.
Rams second half possessions, to your point. Punt, touchdown, fumble, punt, fumble, missed field goal, punt, fumble, field goal. There you go. Coming back, Beeson's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN's got a great new offer to help make this your best betting year ever. It's our all-new Big Game, Big Dance special, providing VSiN Plus all access to everything we do from now through April 5th for only $69. Sign up now and get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming Big Game and College Hoops betting guides, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. It's one of the most exciting betting seasons of the year, so don't miss out on one of our best deals of the year. Visit VSiN.com/bigdeal to sign up today.
87.15, we have rebounded on the dollar just a little bit here, guys. It was 86 all last week. So 87.15
nice.
Canadian.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for Fruit Baskets.
Some bets are more fruitful than others. Let's find out who deserves a fruit basket of their own for helping the Primetime Action crew win this weekend.
Can I just say this? The voice of Danielle Alvari, the funniest text I got all day was during the Rams game at the end. And Danielle texts, she goes, "What's with the Tom Brady cam in the corner?" Have you ever seen that during a football game? When the Rams had the ball last and they were only up 7, they had Brady in a box like it was a Beverly.
So it's like the Jeff Porl sweat cam.
Real Housewives reunion and they were watching footage.
It's just quality TV production.
I think it was one of those like, this could be the last time we see him on a football field. So we need to capture as we need to get as much screen time as we can.
That's so
for
funny
him
to be
on the television.
You're up, sir.
Yes. So first one, Jesus H. Burrow. Thank you so much. He stabbed the Titans with his filet knife. It is game over. No more Titans talk here.
Oh, he did it, not Tannehill.
He
Oh, it was Burrow, was it?
I mean, he threw for 348 yards in this game. And
oh, it was both of them.
Maybe you should send a fruit basket to the other guy, too.
And was and honestly, more than anything, it was when you get sacked 9 times in a game and you're still able to function properly. That is an unbelievable achievement. How many times have we seen?
And he doesn't fumble.
How many times have we seen these quarterbacks? They get sacked and they get sacked again. They get sacked again. By the third sack, they're screaming at their offensive linemen. They're throwing helmets over on the sideline. They're all this stuff like that. Well, what does Burrow do? He just gets up and goes about his way.
It's awesome.
And the guy is an incredible leader. I pray. They spend every free agent dollar that they have on an offensive line and every single pick they have, and then just pick the best 5 out of the 12 that you get and keep this guy healthy, because he's going to be a truly, truly special talent in this league if they can keep him healthy. But again, like, it's not going to happen. By the way, that was 9 official sacks. There was one. They got to hit him 2 other times on plays that should have been blown dead. I mean, like, he got battered all around and still was able to get it done. Joe Mixon, thanks for being not all that efficient, because the under 60.5 got home on his rushing prop with all of that. Green Bay weather, because we were able to get in 2 different times on the in-game under in this one, because it looked pretty obvious there that weather, and listen, we talk about it. Yeah, okay, it's the wind. But when you're talking 0 degrees wind chill, It kind of showed its hand early there. I think it kind of flipped over the cards and let us see what it was playing with in here. And the guys were just dropping balls left and right. The quarterbacks were just a little bit inaccurate. Everything was just a little bit off. And it looked like that weather really, really, really was going to play a factor in the game. Now, I did not think it was going to be that pathetic of a performance from both of those teams, but fortunate enough to get a couple of in-game unders on that one. I want to give this up to Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, as we were all on the Rams. We were all on Rams money line, I think. And it was just, you know, look, Stafford, we said this going in this game. We were like, he was the best quarterback against the blitz in the next gen stats era, which dates back to 2016. And in the most critical snap of the entire game, they chose to blitz him. Thank you for making that throw, Stafford. Thank you for whatever it is that's inside of you that makes you better whenever they blitz you and you don't have time to sit there and think about what you want to do. And also to Cooper Kupp for having an unbelievably amazing game in that game. Guys, I want, you know, just as an aside here, it does make you wonder if they didn't vote for MVP until like the Super Bowl or something.
Thought about that.
If Cooper Kupp might actually get seriously true consideration, as opposed to just this little like, oh, you had a great season, but
I think it's probably true because the recency bias would be so powerful, right?
Yeah.
So it's why Jamar Chase soared ahead of Mac Jones in the Rookie of the Year from that one performance. Mm-hmm.
And then last one to McDermott here, buddy.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah. The Chiefs money line bet, I thought I lost 3 different times. I thought was dead 3 different times. Me screaming at the television 3 different times. And then you allowed, with 13 seconds left, of course, everyone's already beating you up over this, but you didn't run time. You didn't take advantage of the rules. You put yourself in a situation to lose that game. And look, fine season and obviously and all that, but that one was pretty great, because I thought that bet was dead 3 different times. I thought that was a loser and came back from the dead a couple of different times.
What an amazing weekend of football. Fruit baskets for me to the 49ers. Had the 49ers plus the points. It got there. Somehow Jimmy Garoppolo, ladies and gentlemen, 9-2 in games where he's thrown 0 touchdowns, 3-0 in the playoffs. good looking and good fortune. So what he got, 212 total yards for the Niners. But here's the deal. The Packers, their drives after their opening touchdown, rest of game, fumble, punt, 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 blocked field goal, punt, field goal, blocked punt, punt. Give it up to the Niners. The Packers' horrific special teams comes into play time and time again, and Robbie Gould for the win. Also, of course, a fruit basket to the Rams. As Matt said, we were all on the Rams every which way, not only against the number, but also money line. Also have Rams futures here for the NFC. I think you might even have a Super Bowl future, don't you?
Yeah, I've got some maths to do this week for sure.
Yes, you do. But the Rams were phenomenal. And Matthew Stafford, this is why they traded for Matthew Stafford. You could almost see when Sean McVay hugged him at the end. It was like if you could just see the cloud bubble over his head saying, I love you. This is why you're here. Thank God you're here. Good for Matthew
Stafford.
I'm
glad you brought that. So Rams organization just in general as well, hat tip to them because everybody, they laid it all on the line.
Yes.
And everybody that they went out and got made a contribution in that game yesterday. Yeah. From Stafford to Von Miller to Odell Beckham. Like, they went out and they were like, hey, we understand. This is it. And all of those guys came through. And so for that organization in general as well. Because, I mean, listen, there's multiple ways about it. Some teams want to build through the draft. Some teams want to do it. They were like, you know what? We're going after it for this small window we've got. And that's going to be it.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. They went for it and they're still going for it. Kelly.
Yeah, go through NFL teams just for kind of bet by bet. Bengals, though, that was nice early on Saturday. And then, yeah, I mean, Rams, this probably should have even just been a separate fruit basket because to keep the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship futures alive and really how that game ended was just incredible. Stafford, I don't know what it is about him and his entire career, but it's like he's very Romo-esque, right? It's like he almost needs the drama. It's like if it wasn't a must-make opportunity. I don't know if he makes that throw, you know what I mean? That was incredible throw, incredible catch by Kupp, incredible finish to that game. So Rams got that home on the money line, and then I had that teaser with the Rams and Bills. That was pretty simple, even with the silly ending to that Bills game. And then, we got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, my next one. These guys were, I mean, hey, from just, even if we weren't betting on this, I'd be sending these two a fruit
what
basket a after that game last
what
night,
a
right?
Masterpiece from these two.
It was incredible. I mean, if I'd have a single dollar on it, these guys deserve a fruit basket today. But I had the over. I ended up hitting that a couple times, and it was, Matt, like you were talking about earlier, it was a little nervous when you're like, okay, you guys are scoring on almost every drive, but you're taking a lot of time out of the ball, a lot of air out of the ball, a lot of time off the clock. But that 2-minute warning hit, and then all the scoring happened. But man, Mahomes rushing prop, that was an easy over. You got that done in one rush on the first drive. I had that. I had the overs. I had that teaser with the Bills. So not only, guys, thank you for an amazing game to watch, but thank you for putting up all those stats as well, because it was a good betting NFL weekend. Speaking of bad betting, over in the golf, Tom Hoge.
So you're doing what I did last week. I gave one to Henley because he crushed me, and so you're going to give one to
No, 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 no. I'm going. I have to explain that, Matt, because I said on this show during like last summer or whatever that I'm not giving these chumps who fail me a fruit basket anymore.
Chump.
Except I did have him 6-1 on a top 20.
Oh,
so I want to say Tom Hoge, because you were 140-1 long shot and you cashed a 6-1, you still get a fruit basket in situations like this. Golfers that I hold to a higher standard, Matt, will not get this treatment this year.
Fair enough.
Is that fair?
That's such a stupid golf tournament.
I think that's fair. It was a lot of long shots battling down the stretch, and just none of these guys could go out and win the thing.
Yeah, it's just such a stupid golf tournament. I'm going to take that one off next year. That one's dumb.
What's funny is I'm pretty sure through 2 years now of using our modeling, my model has nailed that tournament better than any tournament on the tour. So,
is that 2 weeks in a row now where you've been flirting with a win?
No. Matt had a good week last week. I had the good week this week. I had Zalatoris and Hoge there.
Yeah. Who was your Henley? Oh, of course,
yeah.
Henley.
Yeah, he had Henley.
Oh, yeah. How soon we forget? You had Henley first round last week.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot about that kill. Yeah. Two rough beats
fun
in the
times.
First 2 weeks. Two
fun times.
I knew you were involved a couple weeks
fun
in a row.
Times.
We'll review our one and done or our draft a little later on. We got to go through the Saturday games as well. Next, though, some hockey with our buddy Andy McNeil, who might have had no idea there was American football on yesterday. That's next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want to make sure VSiN is part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on big game weekend, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage. I'm not even sure 56 hours fits into a weekend, does it?
Well, it's 57, remember?
Oh, yeah.
You're coming in.
And it starts on Friday.
And it starts with us. Primetime action on Friday. That's right. On VSiN.com. Leads up to our 6th annual live big game betcast. It's the biggest game of the year. So make plans now to join the VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action on VSiN.com. By the way, that's the other thing about how great this past weekend was. How could championship and big game weekend possibly live up to those games this weekend?
Well, when Jesus H. Burrow the mighty Bengals to the Super Bowl, that will that will certainly topple. It doesn't matter. I don't care what the score is. It can be 6-3. It'll still be the greatest.
Could you imagine if he won the college and pro championships in a 3-year span? Would it be a 3-year span?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that would be something. Not going to happen, but that would be something. Now a gentleman who doesn't even know that American football exists from Canada, Edmonton, Alberta. Ladies and gentlemen, to talk hockey with us, it's Andy McNeil. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. Were you aware that there were 4 football games on this weekend?
Yeah, I was aware. I checked the scores. I was kind of interested in what happened, but that's about as far as it goes.
you sound very excited about it. I'm just curious. You're not okay. Well, that's what we like about you, that you're in your hockey cocoon.
Not going to butter you up here.
American football,
it's not my thing. Right?
I don't require the buttering up. I'm just curious. You're lesser for it, is all I'm saying.
Is it football just in general? Like, do you do the CFL at all?
No, I mean, I'm just a hockey fan, man. It is what it is. It's
he didn't like sports. I mean, he didn't like balls.
I like sports.
He didn't like balls. It's a puck, and that's it. Like, if it's a ball,
I don't like
it. You're
putting me on the spot here. I like sports. I just, over the years, I've whittled it down to pretty much just an interest in hockey. I don't have time for anything else.
No, I respect it. Let me just ask you one question about the NHL that did sort of get on our radar, which was the Edmonton Oilers, who got out to a ridiculously good start at the beginning of the season. I think they were 8-1 or 9-1 or something like that. And then just stopped winning hockey games since, you know, for over a month. What do you make of something like that? And, like, could you have seen that coming?
Yeah, I mean, it was always a concern heading into the season. The Oilers had built what looked like a pretty strong forward group, and they looked like they would be able to contend with just about anybody in that respect, you know, with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl up top, obviously, and they added Zach Hyman, and it really looked like they might be able to outscore their problems, but the goals stopped coming, you know, at the rate that they were earlier in the season when the others were beating everybody, and the goaltending just really fell off a cliff. And oddly enough, the Mikko Koskinen probably deserves the lion's share, the credit for the Oilers even getting their last win against the Calgary Flames, because they were badly outplayed by Calgary. But it's kind of, there was always going to be this risk involved with heading into the season with Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, two goaltenders that most people would agree aren't NHL starters, and it's really came back and bit them here. You know, they're still in it, obviously. They've still got a chance to make the playoffs and whatnot, but I don't know anybody who's got much confidence in this team in the short term, in this season anyways. They're going to have to figure out their goaltending, and maybe they can do that at the trade deadline, but that seems unlikely.
Andy, we do have 3 puck drops to come, one in just a few minutes in the Canadiens and the Wild, but that's a big minus like 380 game on the Wild there. Avalanche, another big favorite at 320. I think you did have some thoughts, though, on the 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific Blues and Flames game. Sitting right now, you can find a 155 on the Flames, and you can find a 135 on the Blues.
Yeah, on the minus 155, that's right around my cutoff, so it would be a small bet. This one opened this morning because the Blues played in Vancouver last night. It opened at Flames minus 145, so I grabbed some of that. I grabbed some minus 150 to average out around minus 147, minus 148, somewhere around there. And I like them all the way up to minus 155. I think Calgary is not, you know, they're not an elite team. They're not up there with the Colorado Avalanche and the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning, but they're right there, and they just lack a little bit of star power. They've got great goaltending, although Jacob Markstrom has been a little rocky as of late. I don't expect that to continue long term here. And on the Blues side, it's Jordan Binnington. He's not performing the way you'd expect Jordan Binnington to perform. Obviously, he's a Stanley Cup champion. It's been actually Ville Husso, the backup goaltender, who's won his last five starts and has been playing great. He's really carried the Blues over this stretch where they've won eight out of their last 10 games. And if you look at some of the underlying metrics, the Blues really haven't been playing well. They've only had a positive expected goal differential in four out of the last 10 games, and it's been Husso that's really been carrying the load. And Binnington, he's won three of his last five starts, but he's let in four or more goals in three of those starts. So not great form for the team or the goaltender tonight. And Calgary, they've kind of been sputtering along lately, but they're a top-ranked team up there in the top five in terms of shot attempt percentage and expected goals for share. They're just a really good hockey team, and I think this is a pretty good matchup for them, with the Blues coming in tired after just kind of squeaking by the Canucks, a pretty depleted Canucks lineup last night. And, I probably wouldn't lay minus 160 because I think the game should be priced around minus 163, minus 164. But minus 155 is worth a bet, in my opinion.
Andy, a couple weeks ago, not about 10 days ago, we were on the show, and I was texting you because the Avalanche were minus 650 against the Coyotes. Matt had a full-game Coyotes bet. He ended up losing in a shootout. Poor guy. This weekend, somebody texted me, were the Avalanche or some other team was like minus 800? Did that happen this weekend, and they ended up winning by a goal?
Yeah, it would have been the Avalanche, and I'm totally having a brain fart right now because I cannot remember who they played. I think it was the Canadiens.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was Montreal.
But the line had gotten up even higher than what they were when they played the Arizona Coyotes, the game that you just referenced.
This is the greatest thing in hockey, Andy. Like, I hope these keep coming because these are bound to go the other way at some point.
Yeah, there's a lot of this lately, and it is probably getting out of hand for sure. I mean, I'd say the disparity between the best teams and the worst teams has probably never been, never been more than it is right now. But nobody wants to bet some of these teams, and at some point you're just left with no choice. But you have to, or you have to give it a shot anyway. I think the Avalanche, they're in a good position to win tonight, obviously minus 320 favorite, but they've had a lot of trouble putting teams away. They played 12 games since returning from the holiday break, or whatever you want to call it, and they've needed overtime or a shootout in six of those games. So, that's a team where you're often laying minus 250, minus 300 and whatnot, and a lot of these games are going to overtime. So if you opted for that regulation play or that puck line play, you're getting burned. I don't think it's going to last. This is a talented hockey team. I don't know what's really plaguing them right now, but their underlying metrics aren't looking great over this stretch. But they'll probably get the win tonight, and maybe they'll do so in dominant fashion. But I like Mikko Rantanen over 3.5 shots at minus 110. He's gone over that mark in five out of his last six games. And Chicago is a bottom 10 team in terms of the amount of shot attempts they give up on a per game basis. And a little bit of a flyer here, but I think it is plus EV. It's Alex DeBrincat to score a goal, anytime goal scorer, at plus 170. I think it should be priced closer to plus 150. That's on the Chicago side, and I don't expect them to score too many goals tonight, but they'll probably score a couple, and they've got to come from somewhere. And DeBrincat is one of the league leaders right now. He's right up there with some of the best, and has been for the last couple of seasons.
Andy, we've got about 30 seconds. So the Golden Knights playing tonight and then playing again tomorrow night on a back-to-back. We always like weigh in back-to-backs when we talk about NBA. But how does that factor into your handicapping when it comes to the NHL? Like, how big of a ding do you put on a team when they're playing a back-to-back?
Yeah, it's a couple percentage points depending on which goaltender starts which game. And tonight it's Robin Leonard, and we've got Laurent Brossoit. He's working his way back from an injury, so there's a little bit of uncertainty there whether they'll give Leonard another start. But this is a tough little four-game road trip. They've got Washington tonight, Carolina tomorrow, and then they've got Florida and Tampa Bay. But big news here, Max Pacioretty and Alec Martinez are traveling with the team, so we could see them inserted into the lineup any game here.
Andy, pardon me. We appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. And maybe check out some football next weekend if you get a chance, okay?
I'll watch the Super Bowl. I'm pumped for that halftime show. Like, that's pretty sick.
Who are you looking forward to the most? Mary J? Eminem?
Mary J, yeah. Come on. I mean, of course.
Andy McNeil, everybody, a digital gambler with a couple picks on the Propagator and the Flames tonight, at least at a better price than currently exists. Coming back, NFC and AFC championship previews next.